Good morning. Please be seated. So, I've been kind of captured by the book of James lately. We're going through that in our Bible study on Tuesday nights, and y'all are invited, by the way. Come on down Tuesday nights, Smith House, Nevada. It's a beautiful drive, especially today. Beautiful drive. And I'm in James chapter 4. You know, the book of James, I think contextually, this is one where you'd have to say James is a great lover of this congregation, and I think this congregation definitely knows James loves them because they are hearing some pretty harsh things from either their former pastor or a beloved leader of the church. He will say some things that are really pretty stark. And today I think the message is not necessarily an exception to that, but there are harsher things that he has to say for us than what we're hearing today. But this particular part here is in James chapter 4, where James has just spoken about worldliness. And he wants us to know that worldliness is spiritual adultery. Worldliness is saying yes to the Lord Jesus and also yes to the world, in the same way that one might say yes to their spouse and yes to another. And so he's got really harsh things to say about that kind of spiritual adultery. Well, right after that then, in James chapter 4, verse 13, makes a little bit of a transition, and that's where we are today, where he says, and I think probably dealing with some folks who, I don't know, it's hard for us to know exactly who he's talking to, but it would seem that he's probably talking to folks who may recently have been freed. Maybe they were former slaves. Now they're free. And having become recently freed, what are we going to do with our lives? Well, we're going to become business owners. We're going to buy and sell for a living. And so on the one hand, we have the beauty of God's grace in that slaves of Christian slave owners become freed, and now we have former slaves in the same congregation as former masters. The former slaves, they have to do something with their lives, and so that's how I read this anyway. I wouldn't go to the stake for it, obviously. It's my own personal interpretation, but I think it's a reasonable one. That now these former slaves say, though they have received the grace of God in that they have become freed, are now learning how to operate a business. James says in chapter 4, verse 13, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and yet fails to do it, for him it is sin." So this is James again talking to these folks who he knows, and they know him, and he loves them, and they love him, and yet he has some harsh words for them. So three things that I see that really come to the front here. He's going to deal with these folks and their inability to see that life is unpredictable in the first sense. Life is unpredictable. He's also going to talk to them about their failure to see that life is short, it's brief. And then finally, he's going to talk to them about how they need to know that what they're doing is in the will of God. So these are the three things. Life is unpredictable, life is brief, and the Lord Jesus is the Lord of life. So in the first sense, then, life is unpredictable. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend there a year and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. I'm reminded of, you ever known a gambler? Somebody who's really just racked up with that lifestyle, that addiction, a gambling addiction. Someone who says to you maybe, yeah, I got to get up in the mountains and I got to make some money so I can come back down and, you know, do this or that. Kind of reminds me of that a little bit. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town, we're going to spend there a year and trade and make a profit. If you're counting on that, you're not really reckoning with the fact that life is unpredictable. Life is unpredictable. It's interesting how all three of these points are really very similar. It's a inability, it's an unwillingness to acknowledge that we are not the ones in charge. I was talking recently with somebody who owns her own business, is starting up a business, and of course she has to do this thing, like all business owners have to do. You've got to think about the business. You've got to plan accordingly. You've got to get the marketing out there. You've got to know where you're going to be, you know, 6 months, a year, 5 years, 10 years. You've got to think about the business in those terms. And you've got to be certain in these things if you're going to plan effectively. So what place does that have? How does that coexist with a perspective that acknowledges that the Lord is in control? You know who Robert Murray McShane is? Do you know that name? He was a really very effective, very influencing Puritan. I think he'd be among the Puritan community. Some of you may know better than I do about that. He died when he was 29 years old. I don't remember when I was 29 years old. That was a long time ago. But he has this saying. He says, as for myself, I have no plans. I have no plans with regards to myself. Now, you and I, bumping into somebody on the street, if they were to say to you, I have no plans regarding myself, what would we think about such a person? Probably not very effective, right? Probably not very powerful in their influencing. And yet, here's this guy, spent his life for the Lord, died at 29, and we're still talking about him. So this first thing is, let us acknowledge that life is unpredictable. We are not the ones in control. The Lord is in control. And we are called to plan accordingly. We are called to prepare. I'm just saying there's a balance between these two things. Let us prepare. Let us plan in such a way that if the Lord should take away what we're planning, let us remember that he's doing so for his own glory and for our good. Let us not be so committed and determined to follow through with our plans that there's no room for the Lord's vetoing, because he will. So then the second thing that James gets into here then is that life is brief. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Have you thought of yourself as a mist lately? Have you thought of yourself as just a temporary thing? The snow on the road, the ice on the road, kind of reminds me that when you're driving through a snowstorm and it's taking every bit of energy and every bit of attention you have to keep your car on the road, and this is life, this is reality for the next half hour or whatever. And then when that storm goes the next day, and this is what we, especially in Colorado, I love this about Colorado, how the next day the sun comes out and the snow is gone, the ice is gone, and you see the occasional car on the road, off the side of the road, and why is the car on the side of the road? Well, you know, last night's storm. It was reasonable for the car to go on the side of the road last night, but today, how funny, it's on the side of the road. You know, last night's storm is very different from today's clear roads. In the same way that the morning mist, the morning fog, which when you're in it feels like it's all there is, but when it dissipates quickly. And our life is like that. Scripture says our life is like that. It's here for a very short time. Now, we have eternity in our hearts. None of us are going to be fully convinced that life is a short thing. It's not, because we know it's not. The next life is long. This life is short. This life is a mist. So, let us maintain that proper perspective. James will remind us that with all of your comings and goings and business dealings, this life will be over very, very soon. Does that mean we ought not to be profitable? Well, yeah, we ought to be profitable, but as James read this morning, what is profit in the eyes of the Lord? A profitable life in the eyes of the Lord is a life that is rich toward God. Because that's the long life. That's the real life, the life to come. all this stuff is going, gone. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills. This is the third thing then. If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. You ought to say, if the Lord wills. Do you say that? Do you say, if the Lord wills? You ever know somebody who cannot get through a future tense sentence without saying, the Lord wills, if the Lord wills? Lord willing, we'll do this. Sometimes people do that. In fact, I don't know if you, there was a Pomona Valor football game on the other day, and at the end of the game, which is a Christian school, Valor running back, I'm not sure what position he played, was interviewed by the reporter, and he started every sentence with that. The Lord will, if the Lord wills, which, you know, the first time you hear it, you think, cool, you know, here he is, he's saying the Lord, it's kind of like one point for our team, you know, where he's admitting that he loves the Lord Jesus, and he's gonna refer to him. And then the second time you think, okay, yeah, he's really committed to this. And the third time it's like, you know. It's getting a little. So you can kind of be superstitious with that, can't you? And what is superstition? It's an anxiety. It's a kind of a panic in your soul that says, I've got to do this thing to make God happy. If I'm not doing this thing, I'm not making God happy, and therefore I got to, you know. So it's a superstition in a sense. That's not what Paul's saying. You don't see New Testament writers speaking that way. Every time a future tense is spoken, they're going to add the Lord wills, if the Lord wills. And yet, it's probably better than the alternative, right? Because we can kind of get into our own mode of thinking. We can forget the lordship of Christ in our life, and we can be very committed to our own lordship over our life, and we can forget, if the Lord wills, we will do this and we will do that. And so once again, if you're interested in the context of James chapter 4, we do kind of come back to this thing where you do have worldliness as opposed to godliness in this chapter, and this is what happens to the one who forgets the Lord's will in our life. We become the Lord of our own life. And verse 17 is a great description of that. Someone who knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. You're aware of the right thing to do. You don't do it because you are overruling God's will, the Lord's will in your life. And right there, you knew what the right thing to do was and yet did not do it. And this is the world we're in. This is the nature of the sin that still abides in our hearts. We continue to love sin. We continue to love to take the reins back. But I just point you to the fact that this is a tremendously freeing thing. Right? These three points are tremendously freeing. Because this life really is unpredictable. We really are not in control. Think about that. If ever you were, maybe before you became a Christian, if you can remember a time before you were a Christian and you were dealing with the conviction of sin in your heart, and before you reached out to Christ and received his forgiveness and his grace, here you were racked with this sense of sin, and you said, okay, I'm going to do better. I'm going to live a perfect life. Think about how exhausting that would be if you're going to plan out a perfect life. You couldn't do it. You couldn't get through day one. I couldn't do it anyway. Maybe you could, but I couldn't do it. So we are not in control. And thanks be to God that we are not in control. That he allows us the opportunity to participate with him with preparation for things to come. And yet he's going to take some things back and give us some things that we weren't expecting, all for his glory and all for our good. And so it is with life. It's short. It is short. And the older you get, is it not true for you? It's certainly true for me. The older we get, aren't we glad life is short? Yeah. This is the perspective of come, Lord Jesus, right? Come, Lord Jesus. We really want you to come. Because things are not the way they're supposed to be. We really do want you to come to be our all in all. And then the Lord's willing in our lives. I think of, Martin Luther, who, there's that classic scene of Martin Luther praying on his knees on every step of that ascension that Jesus allegedly took to get up to Pilate. And on every step he's on his knees and he's praying the Lord's Prayer. That things would be on earth as it is in heaven, according to your will. And Martin Luther couldn't pray those things. That prayer was stuck in his mouth. That's really when the Lord was really dealing with Luther and just helping him to come to terms with the fact that even in our best hearts, we don't will the Lord's will like we ought to. On earth as it is in heaven. Jesus taught us to pray this, and it ought to be the prayer of our hearts. And in his grace, it will be. But this is really where Luther was full of great conviction. The simple Lord's Prayer that even a child learns, and we can't get through it with a straight face, because we don't want his will like we ought to. And yet even through that, he knows and he forgives, because Jesus wanted God's will for us. And that righteousness is yours and mine by faith. So it's tremendously freeing stuff. There was a man by the name of Zacchaeus, right? Little man. And so full of the joy of the Lord, he went up into a tree and said, I've done these things. I've given away all the money that I took improperly. I had a funny little vision of Zacchaeus looking something like Donald Trump this morning. Imagine him in a tree. Lord, if I've taken anything, I've restored fourfold. Could happen. That's freedom. That's the freedom in Christ. He's the one in control in this very short life. And it's his will that we ought to want. All the rest of it is just exhaustion. Amen.